Welcome to another episode of the African Football Podcast. I am your host, Wedi Ziani, and I'm joined today by two very special guests. Joining us from Uganda is esteemed African sports journalist, Usher Komugisha. Welcome, Usher.
Thank you very much.
Also with us today, from Nigeria, freelance sports writer and broadcaster for the BBC, Oluwaseyin Okilije. Welcome.
Hi, Wale. Thanks for having me here.
I guess we could jump right into the conversation. This past weekend, we heard Algeria international Riyad Mahrez state that the African Cup should be held every 4 years. This adds to a discussion that's been ongoing for many years now. It's nothing new. We've heard in the past FIFA president Gianni Infantino say it should be held every 4 years, a move supported by DJ Drogba. However, we've also had some pushback from former players like Samuel Eto'o and Alhaji Diouf, who have both rejected a four-year African Cup of Nations. Usher, I know you're in support of a African Cup every 2 years. What is your rationale for keeping the status quo?
Well, first of all, the African Cup of Nations is the biggest tournament in African football. And you know, it just brings together everyone from across the continent, the biggest teams, even the smaller teams, as we saw in Egypt, looking at the performance of a small country, you know, like Madagascar, Burundi, getting their own test in there, and Benin, you know, surprising so many at the AFCON. So for me, I think that when we have it every 4 years, it sort of takes away so much from the continent, because every 2 years is a party. It's a reminder to the whole world that, look, Africa is here once again, because there's so much happening, you know, with the introduction of an expanded FIFA Club World Cup. There's so much attention on that. There's so much attention on the World Cup, especially if it's going to be expanded later on. So you want Africa not to get lost in all of this. And so every 2 years, you know, is perfect for me. And I think that in terms of financially, I should say, this is a cash cow for CAF. This is where they get to make most of their money. And they would not want that to happen only once in 4 years. It's a catastrophe for them from a financial point of view.
Oluwaseyin, I know you disagree. You think it should be held every 4 years. Why do you say that?
Well, I think Usher has made some very valid points, and we have to understand that the African Cup of Nations is undoubtedly the biggest continental competition on the continent of Africa. So that's been established, and we all know that. But the truth of the matter is, change is the only constant thing in life. You have a tournament that has been troubled in the last six editions being held. You have countries pulling out because they just don't have the financial muscle to actually pull it off. So economically, Africa is a country that is challenged in terms of people have basic needs in Africa. Yes, football brings joy. Football brings passion. It's the opium of the people. People love football on the continent. But governments that CAF truly needs to back the hosting of such a tournament will tell you that, look, this is really taking a lot from them. I'm sure Usher too will realize that the last five editions of the tournament have not been held by the original host country. They've all had to pull out because they don't think they have the financial capability or sometimes the stability to actually host a tournament of this magnitude. Also, people on the African continent, I think, are only getting upset because Infantino suggested it. And the fact that they always think like Europe suggesting to Africa on how to run its competition, it's too overbearing, and they are actually dictating to Africa. For me, I'd rather have a four-year tournament that is more competitive, that will give countries the opportunity to actually put things in place. If you give me 4 years to plan something, I think it's a long term, and it will also continue to shine the light on the tournament. It becomes more competitive. Now we have 24 nations. Each country that needs to play in that tournament will actually fight hard to come. Every 2 years for me, well, I think it's just been, it's not really been competitive in my opinion.
Whenever we do talk about the African Cup, the discussion also comes up about the timing of the competition, of whether it should be in the summer or it should be in the winter. What are your thoughts on the matter?
Well, Waleed, the truth is, I'll just, you know, begin with the previous AFCON in Egypt. Fantastic. I don't know how exactly I should explain. Maybe because I love Egypt. Waleed, don't, you know, get offended with that. But Egypt hosted an amazing tournament. You know, this is a country that has so many classic, I should say, world-class football stadiums, and they did their very best, you know, to host a beautiful tournament. But the thing is, Africa is so diverse. It is so diverse. In the north, it's literally summer, like it's, you know, 40 degrees centigrade during the day. So it's easier that way. But when you go down south, if you say that the AFCON should be hosted as a constant in June, July, then it means, for example, South Africa, which has which is the only African country to host a World Cup, will never host the AFCON because it's winter there, you know. I remember attending the 2018 African Nations Championship, the CHAN, in Morocco, and so many of the players were freezing. I don't even know how Nigeria, a sub-Saharan African team, made it all the way to the final, you know, because it was so cold. You could see these guys literally shivering, even though they were trying, you know, to put on warm clothing, but they were just not used to the weather at the time. So it's very complicated. It's not easy. So many factors are affecting the AFCON, and CAF really need to think so hard before, you know, they make final decisions on that.
Well, personally, I think when it comes to maybe you know, a summer one or a winter one in Africa, like Osha pointed out, I think this is one of the most complicated decisions that CAF has to take, because the North Africans will tell you they favor it in the summer. The other sub-Saharan African countries will come in and say, no, not really, because like she said, it's rainfall. It's also a time when it's always difficult for countries in the southern side of Africa as well. Like she pointed out, South Africa will never get a chance to host if it's in the summer. So I think it makes sense to retain the January, February. I think the only reason why people are talking about this January, February is also, again, the fact that people feel like, you know, it's clash with the season in Europe. And I think the CAF has a huge opportunity to actually look deep. And I mean, we've been this competition has been going on since the 50s, and I understand that it comes to a time in life where you just need to look. Do we need to keep doing the same thing over and over? How can we find an everlasting solution to our own tournament so no one will be saying, look, the players complaining, FIFA complaining, clubs complaining? So I just think the timing would be something that opens up for a very huge and important debate in African football. If that can be sorted out, I think the issue of 2 years or 4 years that Osha and I want to throw punches now will not really matter if they can actually sort out the timing first and foremost, and then other things can follow.
Well, the thing is, Waleed, look, Shina is talking about the timing, you know, like January, February. But the truth of the matter is, if you have a scenario where the players are saying, okay, I love my country, I'm going to go down to Africa and play for my country, but then not give 100%, you know. Or, for example, have a scenario like in Gabon where the Cameroonian players decide to say, look, we're not going to go and risk our places at the clubs just because we're going to play for the national team. So you have the players in between. Who do we serve? The clubs that give us the money, that give us the status that we have in the world? Or do we go with our countries, which forever, I mean, we come from there and we need to identify ourselves with that? So that's something for CAF to think about. But going back to what Shina said earlier, perhaps, you know, they can consider making changes, you know, because you cannot insist on, oh, we've been doing this since 1957 when the first edition was played. But they just need to be dynamic, but dynamic in the sense that it helps every stakeholder, but also, most importantly, the biggest stakeholder, the players.
Exactly. And then when you look at the player side, she's made a valid point. I know for a fact most African players will tell me whenever I'm in Europe that, look, this AFCON, that I'm under pressure from the club manager not to go. They want me to feign injury. They said they won't extend my contract because the club comes first, in my opinion, because everyone can say, yeah, emotion, passion, patriotism and what have you. Patriotism will not pay his rent. Patriotism will not take care of his family. Patriotism will not do all of those things. So you need to find a balance where the players are not under immense pressure to actually go out and represent their country when, in hindsight, they could probably just have sat back and just continue to protect their own paycheck. I think in all of these conversations, we need to consider the players first and foremost. We need to consider the fans, and also we need to consider everything that it takes for an African tournament to actually succeed. I always use the example of South America, because South America, I don't know if Osha will agree with this, tend to have almost the same economical condition like Africa in terms of, you know, countries like Peru, countries like, you know, there are countries like Bolivia. They probably have similar challenges like other countries in Africa as well. What they've done with the Copa America is it's gone from 2 years, it's gone from 3 years, it's gone to 4 years. You see, they know they have the players, of course, you know, Brazilians, Argentine players and all of that. They know they have the players to actually attract interest in their tournament. All they've done is they've played with the timing. They've played with also they've tried with the circle. They've gone two, they've gone three, they've done four. So I think this is just an opportunity for CAF to look at that. I'm not saying you have to follow suit, but you can look at what works for a continent that is almost as similar as yours and see if it could be an option.
Yeah, those are definitely some great points that you raise. And maybe Africa should be a bit more flexible with the timing of these competitions. I mean, especially given a lot of the political and economic instability facing our continent.
It just goes back to a couple of things to do with the management of, you know, the tournament that is AFCON. Because sometimes you just get the feeling that CAF, as the head of African football, really don't have the best interest, you know, from the way they do things. Because can you imagine that the last five editions have literally been marred? Like, it cannot be a coincidence. Because five editions, we are talking about 10 years. That's a whole decade, you know. I'm sorry, but I'm going to give an example right now. Just today, I was reading on the FIBA website that they've announced dates for the FIBA Basketball World Cup in 2023. Can you imagine that? You know, CAF will wait for maybe 1 year or 1 year and a half before. That 1 year and a half is even a long time, you know, before telling us what are the exact dates, you know, of that AFCON. So I don't understand how then you get to a position where you're not sure that this country will host the tournament 3 months to the tournament. Like, what kind of madness is that? You know, it's absolutely ridiculous to say that, okay, you have the rights to host the AFCON, so you have 2 or 3 years to prepare. So then 6 months of the tournament, how then can you say that we're not ready to host the tournament? And it doesn't matter if CAF have moved the number of teams from, 16 to 24. I mean, you should be ready, because it's not even just two stadiums that are not ready. It's the hotels, it's the transport, it's everything that's a mess. So it then, you know, strengthens the argument that let the AFCON be every 4 years, because then a country will have enough time to prepare. But the thing is, how about we consider the countries that already have these stadiums, that already have the infrastructure? And if you're going to build, you can then get the next AFCON, which is about 10 years away, you know, so that you have enough time to prepare. So it cannot be higgy-haga all the time. You're looking for a new host. For example, the Africa Women's Cup of Nations has no host. And this is May. Ideally, the tournament was supposed to be played in November. Can you imagine that? So it's just chaos, you know, from a management point of view. And CAF need to do way better than they are doing right now.
I think it's also significant to point out that whichever way we look at it, the first people that CAF will go to if they need to host a tournament is the government. They need the backing of the government. They need the approval of the government in a particular country to say, oh, you know what, we would love to host. But government, things change in Africa in a swift. I mean, we've seen, government takeover in the places like Libya. We've seen upheaval in Egypt. We've seen places where these political situations is unpredictable. So if CAF tend to get assurance from the Kenyan government, for instance, if the president, the man who gave them the mandate left, and there's another one who's coming in who doesn't even have money or who doesn't have an idea what the AFCON is, nobody wants to respect that agreement any longer because there's just no money in the coffers of the government. The government will put, we prioritize what is important, and I don't think that football being handled by CAF along all the line in the on the continent, they don't take them seriously because they know for a fact that CAF will easily run to Morocco, they'll run to Egypt, they'll find Equatorial Guinea or a Gabon president who is willing to actually, give them an opportunity to host the tournament. The uncertainty surrounding the tournament also makes it difficult for them to market it. We're talking about a tournament which prize money is 1.5. Nigeria practically spent about $5 million in terms of bonuses alone for the players to go to a tournament of that. So tell me, where's the motivation going to come from any government to say, why are we even going to spend so much money to participate in a tournament that we know for a fact that, okay, it's just to satisfy a few weeks in the lives of our citizen. Why don't we spend that money on building hospitals or fixing other important things? So it creates a big challenge for CAF. So they need to do more in terms of how they market their own tournament and make it look like it's a serious business. Right now, with due respect to those in charge, I don't think they understand the magnitude of what they have and what football can do on a continent like this. I think Africans are just proud people. We are proud people. We have ego. We have pride. We always feel like, Europe should not tell us what to do. But we can't even get our own house in order. We can't stage a tournament that the world would expect. All we do every time is bickering over who is hosting, which player is not coming, sanctions, we are punishing you, we are doing this. But the reality is you just have to move with times.
Yeah, he just brought up something very important. And when he talks about CAF marketing the AFCON, you just have to go back to what I was saying in terms of leadership. Because, look, CAF woke up one day and decided to do away with the contract that they had with Lagarde, who were their marketing partners. And now CAF is stuck because they do not have a replacement, because that case is also still in court, and we're going towards a very important period where they have to make sure that they solve this issue, get on board so many other sponsors for the AFCON, for the Africa Women's Cup of Nations, for the underage tournaments, and also to make the CAF Champions League and the Confederation Cup more valuable to the teams playing, because when you look at how much these teams, invest in club football, in the Champions League, traveling across the African continent. For example, I give you if a Ugandan team, KCCA, who have been playing on the continent lately, are going to fly to Morocco, a ticket on Emirates is about $1,700. And we're talking about a team that is not going to make it all the way to the semifinals. So they're not going to get into the bracket where they will break even on how much they've spent and how much they're going to get back. So those are some of the things that CAF literally need to start running this show like people who are handling a business. It's not just, like maybe you'd say, for example, like a club like TP Mazembe, who have a lot of money, to throw away. They can buy a player for $1.5 million. That's not the case for the other smaller teams. So from a business point of view, CAF need to do better to make sure that their competitions are worthy, really, and have a lot of value. Because you said Nigeria, $5 million. I remember for 2017 in Gabon, Ivory Coast had a budget of $6.7 million just for their training camp in Dubai. So can you imagine how much they spent altogether and how much they could have gotten at the end if they had won? Just $4 million. So those are some of the things that CAF really need to look into.
With all the issues facing the African Cup, I mean, like you guys have mentioned before, the last five or six tournaments have not been hosted by the original host. And now with the tournament expanded to 24 teams, so ideally, you're looking at six stadiums in six host cities. With that in mind, should CAF be looking at joint co-hosts going forward? Because, I mean, realistically, there's very few countries in Africa that can host a 24-team African Cup on their own. You're looking at Egypt, South Africa, Morocco, and potentially Algeria once all our stadiums are completed.
For me, I've thought of this idea of joint co-hosting, and it makes sense, but we need to also understand how difficult it is to travel within Africa. Do you know that if I need to go to Ghana, you think, oh, Ghana is just there. but it's not just there. How many direct flights goes to Ghana from Lagos? How many flights comes from Ghana to Lagos as well? So it's a bit complicated in terms of transportation. Logistically, it works in maybe North African countries. I don't know. I mean, I haven't traveled more than just flying. I haven't done train. I haven't done the bus trip or what have you. So it sounds okay. We've had one, Nigeria, Ghana in 2000. It was fantastic. The final was played in Lagos. You know, we had other games in Ghana as well. But back then, things were a bit still okay. Now it's a lot difficult because then Nigeria was just coming off, a military system of government where the military spare no cost, they can host anything, they can spend money on doing things and what have you. Nowadays, it's a bit difficult. The government will tell you, yeah, we want to host with Ghana, what's the need for us? And look at the cost might not be as hard as hosting 24 nations themselves, but they look at it, is it really worth it, really? I think that's the question most of the countries will be asking. It sounds like a good idea for countries that have, transportation system that fits in, and also they have the facilities and interest from the government. If this can be put in, if this can be presented properly, maybe it's an idea. But I still think flights, you know, imagine going to Uganda, probably would have to go through, I don't know how many countries to get to Uganda. So maybe you need Tanzania, Kenya sort of, or maybe Ethiopia, you know how you put them together in that bracket and then wonder if both countries might be interested in doing that. But North Africa, I think it sounds workable. South Africa maybe, but in West Africa, I don't know.
It's complicated. It's complicated. But Shina brings a very good example, Nigeria, Ghana. I would think that, you know, there's so much that brings those two countries together, even though sometimes they'll disagree on the jollof rice. But it's a good combination, really. Coming to East Africa, it would be amazing, you know, if Uganda and, for example, Rwanda or Uganda and Kenya host the tournament, because there's, you know, a lot of flights. As you know, East Africa is not really a big problem because there are actually three major flights across the continent. You have Rwanda Air, you have Ethiopian Airlines, you have Kenya Airways, and okay, Uganda Airlines is trying to get on board these days, but those three airlines would make things so easy within the East African region. So the flights is not a problem. But the thing is, the countries, you know, would they be interested? Would the politics at that time, you know, favor hosting a tournament in both countries? So those are a couple of things that are a little bit complicated. I mean, Zambia and Zimbabwe would be a good combination. Even Zimbabwe and Botswana, that's a good one. But it's not easy for CAF. They really, really need to sit down and sort of do what Hayatou was doing, because him being in power for 29 years really, really helped him establish good relations with governments across the board. And this new CAF leadership need to do the same, you know, to be in a position to talk to these presidents, and so that it's CAF, you know, that is on the line and saying, look, we can actually guarantee you that 6 years from now, this tournament will be held here, no matter the change in government. So it looks difficult from here, but they need to do it if they want to save the image of the AFCON. Otherwise, we are definitely going to go to 4 years.
No, I just think we are both supposed to defend our choice of 4 and 2. And at some point, you see, the way we see Africa is complicated. We are probably going to agree on one, maybe 2 years ago or 4 years ago at some point. Osha made a very valid point. And I think a lot of people don't understand how Africa functions. They just sit back in Europe, in America, and the rest of them, they just assume, why are these people so disorganized and complicated? It's because the government, it's a different ball game in South Africa. It's different in Uganda. It's different in Nigeria. Nigerians right now, just take, for example, the COVID-19 situation, the pandemic going on around Africa now. The Nigerian people actually forced the government to ease the lockdown. Why? Because they feel like they can't sit at home, starve, because 95% of the population is living hand to mouth. If they don't go out, they don't eat. They can't. They don't get anything from the government in terms of support or what have you. So are these the same people that you are saying that you want to bring football, and they hear you saying you are going to spend $90 million or $40 million to build a stadium and do this? They will be asking you, so after that, what happens? Is that going to feed us? You know, I think in football we become very. I used to call it very. What's it called? Emotionally, there's something I've forgotten the word, but I can't find it. But what I'm trying to say in essence is, because I'm a journalist, because Osha is a journalist, because we love football, we want to argue and also make case for why football should be hosted. But I have families who are not interested in football. I have people who are not connected to football. They are the people who, when Nigeria is playing, after 90 minutes, they go back to their problems. So they are telling you, are telling them you're going to spend $90 million to host a stadium, to host a tournament. They will all just lose it. They will lose it and they will protest. There will be protests and what have you. Check in the last 10 years, have you seen Nigeria trying to host any tournament? The last major tournament that was held in this country was 2009 FIFA Under 17 World Cup. You know, since then Nigeria, they've been trying. They want to host this, they want to host that. But reality is, the NFF can continue to make the noise they want to host. We know it will be impossible for them to get the government to put money down, because the government will tell you they are pressing things. So Africa is just a peculiar country where challenges, you find challenges everywhere. For CAF as an organization, like Osha suggested, which I really like, Isaiah too made friends. He was connected to government. He will come in. He will have meetings with them under his leadership. Even though we like to say he overstayed his time in office, under his leadership, he was able to stabilize the tournament and also get government on side. During his tenure, things were a bit better and organized than what it is right now. Right now, there's the lack of trust between, involving CAF and government. People don't trust CAF, and why should they?
Yeah, that's certainly a great question that should be asked. Before we wrap up, I know we've covered a lot today, but were there any other points you guys wanted to bring up before we sign off?
No, I just want to know if Osha has made up her mind that 4 years is it.
No, please. Gina, look, guys. No, just to wrap up seriously, 4 years is a long time, man. You know, the more I think about it, can you imagine, just for you to understand the 4 years, can you imagine what happened at the Rio Olympics and now? No way. 4 years is a completely long time for any African football fan.
I understand your concerns, but in my opinion, I just think to have a tournament that people will take seriously, that will give opportunity mm-hmm. for it to be more competitive, that will give a chance for some of the players to actually understand that they are going. Mm-hmm. It's going to take another 4 years for them to win it again. I think when you look at 2012, 2013, 2015, I think it was just too close. And I mean, people easily forget that Zambia were the defending champions by the time they came in 2013, and Ivory Coast were winning in 2015. Before you know it, it was another time. I think when you make it a huge thing for countries to actually know that it's going to take me another 4 years to win this, it becomes more desperately competitive for each country that want to participate. It also gives chance to countries to actually put facilities in place. Osha, you and I know that in the last 20 years, all the facilities that hosted the African Cup of Nations, be it in South Africa, be it in Gabon, Equatorial Guinea, you go back there now, it's a forgotten story. You know, white, what do they call it? What do we call it? White Elephant Project So you look at those things. Government spends so much money to build facilities. They cannot privatize it. They cannot privatize it and generate funds because clubs can't afford to do anything there. People can't afford to host parties like they do in Europe, to rent the stadium and do. Clubs can't even afford to run it. So it's a big elephant project that people can't really manage. So in hindsight, you want to develop other countries like Botswana, Rwanda, countries that are actually trying. I think their government can do well by engaging them in, you know, like regional tournaments. That's why we have the CECAFA, COSAFA, WAFU, and what have you. Mm-hmm. You might say, oh, no, it's not competitive enough, but it gives you an opportunity to actually keep yourself busy and invest more in your local scene, because you can't really get players who are already established in Europe to come and play in this COSAFA and CASAFA, whatever tournament, you understand? So you can look inwards, develop your regional tournament. That's why you have regional bodies to organize that. Then you can say, play friendly matches against top nations in the world if you have the money and financial, if your football is good enough. Because when you look at it, Nigeria lining up Alex Iwobi, Wilfred Ndidi and the rest of them, they can attract to play England. England would want to play them because most of their players are in Europe established and their football is, you know, not that bad. You understand? So I think it should not be the duty of the continental body to tell the regional bodies how to do it. That's why you have regional body. The continental body should focus on developing football on the continental level. That way, they need to focus on the women, the men, the under-17s, the under-20s, and the rest of them, because already they are dealing with so much. So in my opinion, 4 years is good. It gives countries opportunity to host. It also makes the competition more competitive.
Well, the thing is, you mentioned something there about, you know, the friendlies, but the introduction of the UEFA Nations League does not leave African nations in a good spot, because if you look at the calendar, it has literally eaten up all the opportunities, you know, for African teams to play against the top European countries. It doesn't mean that Africa should not play against the South Americans or, you know, a good US team or a Canadian one. But it's just so complicated. But when you talk about the regional bodies, that's the thing about CAF. Like, I know that if they were more organized, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. It would be a no-brainer to have the AFCON every 4 years, you know, because then you have the regional tournaments that would then, for example, be a good training ground, I should say, for example, the CHAN qualifiers. Because for me, I believe that moving the AFCON to 4 years would then give an opportunity, you know, to the CHAN tournament. So you would say that let's have the AFCON in 2021, let's have the CHAN in 2023, and then the next AFCON in 2025, you know? So you give the teams enough time to prepare for the CHAN, enough time to prepare for the AFCON, and enough time to prepare for the World Cup. But that can only happen if there's an organized way of doing things. For example, I really don't know who advised CAF that the CHAN tournament should be held in the same country as the AFCON in a space of months. Like, wow, really, guys? You know, how do you even do that logistically? Is it that Cameroon is the richest country in the world? They are now willing to throw away money, or logistically it doesn't work? And the argument that, okay, the CHAN tournament is to give them enough time to show the world that, you know, they are ready for the AFCON, it doesn't cut it, you know, because it takes so much, you know, to host 16 teams, and then you have 24 teams in a space of 10 months. And now with this pandemic, it's going to get worse, you know. So, yes, Shina, I would agree to a four-year AFCON, but only if all these other structures are put in place. Otherwise, it's going to be a waste of time waiting for 4 years to see the best talent from Africa and showcase it to the entire world, you know. If all of this is not organized, something has to give, really.
You know, prior to this conversation, I was always set on having an African Cup every 2 years. For me, it's imperative for African football and African teams to have this competition, especially considering that Africa only has 5 spots at the World Cup. But I mean, you guys both raised some great points. And when you consider the political and economic context of Africa, when you consider the lack of vision and planning from CAF, maybe there is no definite answer one way or another. In any case, I'm sure this is the last we'll hear of the debate. Usher, Oluwashina, it was a pleasure having both of you, and I want to thank you once again for accepting the invite on such a short notice.
No problem.
Thank you very much for having us.